Hey, welcome to the Black Knight Nation podcast. I'm your host, Sal Intertonato. Black Knight Nation podcast is brought to you by Higher Echelon, a company run by Joe Ross, former Army fullback, former Army assistant coach, former Army officer. And we really appreciate Higher Echelon sponsoring this podcast. We've been away for a little bit. Really appreciate your patience with the podcast, but now we're back with a special guest tonight. And first, we want you to check out our coverage on an Army Black Knight Nation website. We had a story on Jimmy Charlo yesterday signing with the New York Jets as an undrafted free agent Army linebacker. We had a story on Leo Lowe, an Army linebacker, going to camp, rookie camp with the Carolina Panthers too. So check out those stories. Seth Mendelson covered the women's lacrosse game today, the Patriot League game, which unfortunately ended in an Army loss. And we have coverage of the Army men's lacrosse team. They're going to they're hosting the Patriot League tournament next weekend. All kinds of stuff going on there, but now we'd like to welcome our guest, Mike Fahnestock, to our podcast. Mike, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I remember talking to you at one of the Army football golf functions in the summertime and years back, and I'm like, man, I'd like to get Mike on this podcast because thinking about the career that you have, thinking about some of the statistics you put up that still stand as the best in Army football history, and just thinking about your kind of story, you know, how you got to West Point, what you did after West Point. I know you were a football coach after West Point too. A lot of stuff. Lived a full life, Mike. We wanted to talk to you a little bit about that. But thanks so much. And
sure.
You know, first we start off with kind of your road to West Point and maybe a little bit of background on you and how, you know, you found Army. Were you was Army a team that you followed growing up, or how did they find you? What's your recruiting story, so to speak?
It was a school that I was interested in, Army-Navy. Well, these are the visits. Visit Army-Navy, Maryland, TCU, Virginia. We were allowed to visit five schools when I was getting recruited. Uh-huh. I visited those five schools, and Coach Randolph was the track coach, and Coach Smith was the head coach then, and they let me run track, which was key for me, where George Welsh was a head Navy coach, and he said I couldn't do it. And I sometimes wonder if I'd have gone to the Naval Academy. I enjoyed my visit there, and it was a nice place, but what we could have and should have, we never know.
Yeah. So you were a two-sport athlete, right? You grew up in Pennsylvania. Yes. What was life like in Pennsylvania? What was football? Because I know Pennsylvania, big football state. What was that like growing up?
Oh, it was definitely, like you're saying, a football state where, well, I don't know if you remember Larry Pruitt from Berwick, which was like the football power of high schools. Matter of fact, the first year the USA Today did a high school ranking, Berwick won the national title for football. And that was however many years ago, but that football in Pennsylvania is quite a game.
Yeah, Mike Vitti, Army offensive line coach, played at Berwick. And
yes.
Yeah, the history there is pretty big. For football, for you growing up, what was that like for you? Was it something that you took up when you were at a pretty young age? Did you pick it up late or –
I started playing in seventh grade and played ninth grade. And as a sophomore in high school, I played varsity and started the 3 years there and was a running back in high school, though.
Did you catch many passes in high school or no?
Not really. That was one of the things that was I wanted to get recruited as a wide receiver. And I had 2 years of over 1,000-yard rushing, and my sophomore years I had 800 yards. So I had some good running back statistics, but I wanted to keep my legs, so to speak, for track. And I just thought going into the line every other play was wreaking havoc potentially on my knees. But Coach Smith didn't give me much grief on playing wide receiver, and fortunately, it worked out for both of us.
Yeah, no doubt. Coach Homer Smith, right, is the one who recruited you. What was your were your first visits, or what was your first like recollections of getting onto campus at West Point, and how that did you have any military in your family? Were you drawn to serving? Like how did that all come about?
Well, there was a classmate, class of 80, who was from Seals Grove High School, and he played football, Charlie Kahns. And so, like, I stayed with him when I came up, and so I had to kind of an in, so to speak, with, you know, with number one, he played football, and I was going to play football, so we both, he was a tight end, and I was a wide receiver, so we were both on a team, and he kind of, I don't want to say slid me in, but he kind of gave me the, kind of the insights of what to expect, and he didn't let me down. I mean, what he told me was very valid, and I appreciate him for what he did for me.
Were you able to get kind of right on the field when you were on football? Did you play a lot your freshman year? What was the adjustment like from high school to West Point, and how did you have to earn your spot? Did you move up the scout team? What was life like early in your early career at Army?
My freshman year, one of the wide receivers, senior, hurt his knee, so he couldn't play the first three games. Another one was academically ineligible because of the cheating scandal of the 70s there. Okay. So he was ineligible. He was a senior. So I ended up starting the first game and was fortunate to be able to play. And as I always like to say, I was in the right place at the right time, because Lehman Hall was a quarterback. And our very first drive, we drive down, and he checks off to a fade in the end zone. And it's like the game's 3 minutes old, and I caught a touchdown pass. And from straight out of high school to varsity starter, right place, right time. I'll always say that.
Wow. So your first game, first quarter, first drive, maybe even touchdown pass?
Yep.
Wow. It's just playing. What was – because – Lehman Hall is a guy we haven't had on the podcast. I've talked to in the past that I'd like to get on here. What was it like playing with a quarterback with that kind of experience? Because you're coming in from high school. I mean, your senior year in high school, you're not a wide receiver, are you? You're still a running back your senior year?
Right. Yes, sir.
Was that easier to adjust to the position change, so to speak, having an experienced quarterback like Lehman Hall?
Oh, yeah. Yes. He was very intelligent because he could read the same coverages. And I was, like you're saying, I was kind of, I mean, as a running back, you don't really get too familiar with the cover twos and mans and what cover threes, what they look like. But Lehman was smart enough to direct me that I picked up, you know, what the coverages were and what kind of signs. If the strong safety was up, that was a cover three. If both corners were up, that was a cover two. And, you know, he was very, very patient with his little plebe.
Yeah, so the first game. So your first game was against UMass, huh, that first game?
Yes.
Wow. That's neat. And so I guess once the other wide receivers, I guess they were one of them, maybe some of them returned. Are you still able to have an impact your freshman year on the team after those first few games? What was that plebe year like the rest of the way for you?
It was a fun year. I didn't do much more catching pass-wise, but it was a good year. I enjoyed playing, and at that senior class year, we beat Navy, and they hadn't beaten Navy that class. So I was glad for Lehman and those seniors that got their first Navy win in their 4 years.
Yeah. I was looking at – you guys won the Commander-in-Chiefs that year too. You beat Air Force too, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Hey, your first year in college football, first year for Army, and you win you catch a touchdown pass your first game, and you win the Commander in Chief. Not too bad, Mike. Not too bad.
Well, thank you. It was a team effort as far as that goes, though. Trust me.
Yeah, no doubt. Who is some of the, like, I know we talked about Lehman Hall. Were there any others that kind of took you under their wing, like some veteran players that made that transition easier? I know you said you had the high school teammate that was there too, but were there any other players that kind of took you under their wing, or any maybe even coaches?
Well, George Dunaway, the one that was hurt, also ran track, so him and I kind of meshed. and he came back after the, like, I think he got back into the, where we kind of alternated, and he was, we would, you know, he was, we would switch, we would carry plays and whatnot. And George was a senior, so he kind of took me in. And it's nice to have that senior element that takes you under, like you said, at best under the wing, and just knowing that, that I could had somebody that I could call him George, and he was the first year a senior. It was like, wow, I can call him George. And that was not something you could do with yearlings or sophomores, juniors. And I could, you know, call the guys on the upperclassmen by their first names. And it was a different experience, that part of it. It got me out of the, I don't know what the right word is, the structure of the academy, and the fact that when you're on a team, you're a teammate. You're not yes sir, no sir. I mean, it's not that we didn't respect them, no, but they were, I was Mike and he was George and Billy Skoda and Greg McGlasker, and those were our receivers, and we just, you know, it was Greg and Mike and Fonz, whatever, but called me Fonz. That was you saying about a coach Mikalayunas. And it was the very first practice he came, he said, I got a nickname for you. And he said, Fonzie. And I know from anybody at West Point, I'm always Fonzie. But it was the very first practice he came out and said that, I got the nickname for you, Fonzie. And he just, I always know it's at Army, it's Fonzie. And everybody that's, which is just, Coach Miko was a good coach and got me started in the right vein.
Yeah, the nickname kind of stuck, right? And I yes. mean, after that first year, after that plebe season for you, how does your career? Because I mean, we can go through all the numbers that you put up in your career. You know, your receiving yardage per season is still an Army record. I think it's 937 yards. 1980, your senior year, you were the team MVP. You know, you had a really good career, plus you're running track and field, right? I think 10 letters you earned, varsity letters at Army, 4 for football, 6 more for indoor and outdoor track and field. How were you able back then? How were you able to balance both of those? Was it easy to balance both football and track? Was spring football, did you even participate in spring football, or was it just track for you? How did it all turn out for you?
That was where the coaching was very massaged me nicely, that they didn't make me do spring ball because I track. And I think that was a large part of that. I was fast, and the track helped my speed. And so, whereas all those other schools that I mentioned earlier, I was not going to be able to run track. And it's, well, I guess that's what Coach Welsh at Navy said, no, you got to do spring ball. And I wasn't anti to spring ball, but I just was going to eliminate track. And and Coach Randolph, who was then the head coach track, and Coach Smith were very amenable to working together. And so I was able to do both of them and academically survived.
Right. With two. Yeah, no doubt. Even this year for Army football, there's a freshman, Jackson Hammond, who's done both. He actually went from a spring football scrimmage right to, I believe, the Army-Navy track meet. Really? I think he's a sprinter. He's a corner. He's a freshman corner competing for a starting job in this season. And to have these the two sport athletes. I know they have in the past had a couple – Kenneth Brinson. I don't know if you remember Kenneth Brinson, the former linebacker for Army, maybe 6-7 years ago. He was a thrower, and he was a really good thrower in high school and an outstanding linebacker. I believe he's somewhere high up in the medical field now, Kenneth Brinson. He was just a guy who could have went to Stanford and instead chose Army, and he was a dual sport guy with track and field and football too. So I mean, just hearing you able to play, you know, do both sports, my Army football brain goes off and says, okay, who were some of the others in recent years? Yeah. Now, what was track like for you? I mean, were you able to have, I think you were able to have some success in track as well as football, right? Or no?
Yes.
were
qualified
were like
for the Olympic trials in 1980, but we didn't go to the Olympics. So I didn't make the team. I qualified for the trials, and I won a heptagonal meet a couple times and placed in IC4As.
Were you a sprinter, or you had to be a sprinter, right? Or no?
Hurdler.
A hurdler. Okay. Yes. Okay. Wow. So you qualified for the trials. You participated in the Olympic trials too in 80 or no?
We boycotted, remember?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So there weren't even any trials, right? Okay. Wow. But still, the opportunity there.
Right. Yes.
That's not. Yeah. So how did you, when it came to like back to your sophomore year and getting back onto the football field, what was kind of your mindset there after, you know, getting to play your freshman year a little bit and seeing the team have success that freshman year as a team? What was your mindset kind of the next year for you, sophomore year? And when do you think it clicked for you that you could be, you know, a bigger piece of the puzzle on offense, do you think?
Like you're saying, I stepped into the role. I hoped I was going to be the starter, which I was. And I had hoped for a few more catches a year. But we had good running backs, and we kind of went with the running program, which I'm never going to argue. But having Clenny Brundage and myself with George and Clenny, you talk to two-sport athletes. There's Clenny playing basketball and football.
Wow. Yeah.
But it was a good, great. Both years were, I mean, every year set up for the next one, I think, because all my catches went up from freshman to sophomore to junior to senior was more catch, which is kind of what I hope for, make more catches, set my goals high. And if you never, was never to reach a goal, because if I reached it, I set it too low. And if I got close, I'd adjust it. And
yeah, you talk about, you know, yourself, right, and Clenny Brundage. Man, I don't know if Army to this day had maybe a duo that was as athletic as probably you guys were as a duo. That had to be fun in practice. That had to make for pretty fun practices, right?
Oh, yeah.
And even pretty fun games when you guys got the opportunity, I'm guessing, right? Guys kind of work off each other a little bit? Or
yes. No? Well, that was the thing I liked. I liked, because Clenny was the pass catcher, I kind of felt I opened up the middle for him a little bit, because that's where the tight end does his catching. And if you throw stuff outside to the wideouts, you're going to set the middle up a little more for him. And he's got all the career marks, I think, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, both of you guys are up there, and it's just when you go back to thinking about when, I mean, last year they tried to go from a shotgun offense, Army, right? And that didn't mean they were going to throw the ball all over the field. That meant they were trying to spread the field out a little, the defense out a little bit, run it from the shotgun and see if they could create more gaps. I don't think you guys were throwing it 40 times a game when you were playing, right? You said you were running it a lot too, right?
Well, we were throwing it more than now, though, for sure.
Was that when you look at it, you know, when you guys were throwing a little bit more than they are today, but I'm guessing too, blocking was a big part of what you guys had to do too, just as important back then, or no? Or do you remember?
Oh, yes. Yes, it was.
Yeah. What was that like to in that sort of scheme, so to speak?
Well, I was a cheater because they can't do what I did. You can't cut block anymore. And I used to always go for the knees because the defensive back's kind of scared of that, because cheap wide receivers will always do cheap, dirty things like that and try to take the knees out. I was never trying to hurt anybody, but it just was – if I can get him down, I did my job.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. Now they with the chop blocks, forget about it. Right. Yeah. Do you have, I mean, we looked at, I'm going to get to a reader question in a second, or a reader memory in a second, just maybe that will might, you might recall. Do you have, what are some of your favorite memories as an Army football player, would you say? A little bit question, but.
Well, I have to say the Lehigh game was the single game record, and my man who was best man in my wedding was a defensive back for, actually was a quarterback for Lehigh, so he was on the other side of the field. And it was, we went to the same high school, and he was a quarterback and I was a running back, but Ronnie and I were best friends in high school, and you know, he went to Lehigh and I went to Army. I tried to get him to come to Army, but he's doing well with his engineering degree. Matter of fact, I just talked to him the other night, and we're going to get together, which we haven't done for a while. Matter of fact, we said the last time we got together was at the Hall of Fame game when I went into the Hall of Fame in 2015. So, yeah. Ron, that's too far. So we said we're going to get together.
What was his name?
Ron Carr.
Ron Carr. Nice. So you're going up against a high school teammate in the Lehigh game that you had. Yeah. And I guess you got the best of him in that one, huh?
Yes, I did. He always gives me grief about it. You had to take your best game against us, didn't you? Say sorry, Ron.
Yeah, right. Do you remember any kind of specific wins in your sophomore, junior, or senior years that were, you know, that still think about today or think about specific years?
Junior year Stanford out there. Elway was quarterbacking, and they did not respect Army. We upset them. And then it was funny because we walked out from the locker room and they were having tailgates. And just like Mikey Stadium up there have that tailgate. But I mean, this was a long walk through, and it just was, they got behind and they didn't have enough time to come back. And it was a great game. It was a great team effort because we got them down and we were able to hang on. And I just think they were so shocked, which was a definite special feeling. The next year we beat Cal, but playing against, the thing I like is the guys that I played against.
Yeah.
Marino, Lawrence Taylor.
What?
Singletary.
I was going to ask you if you can, like, you're the toughest guy or the best guys you might have faced in your Army career. And when you run down NFL Hall of Famers, I mean, wow.
Oh, there's a lot too much. Pittsburgh had the best secondary. They were physical. That was when their Johnny Majors was coaching, so they had I missed Dorsett. Dorsett was a senior when I was a senior in high school, but Pitt was as good as any team we played. They were physical. They were fast. And they handled us.
Is there anybody that you went up against that may have made it pretty, like, in the NFL, like, I mean, like a defensive back, so to speak? That
Luther Bradley.
Okay.
Notre Dame. Well, some of those pit backs, Carlton Williamson.
Okay.
For somebody, I'm not sure who. Bob Jury played for somebody.
You'd have to block Taylor, right? Lawrence Taylor in the game?
No. I didn't want to run a crossing pattern against that. He was just physically big. He just looked nasty. He did. He was not a lot of fun just to look at. No, I did right? not. Would not have been a crackback that I would have wanted to take on.
It's got to be really good memories, right? I mean, I should have mentioned this at the beginning of the podcast, and my apologies. You were inducted to the Army Athletics Hall of Fame in 2015. Yes. We talked about your football career where you're, you know, 7 touchdowns. I believe your senior year in 1980 is still tied for the most receiving touchdowns in the season. The 937 yards is still a record. You had 47 catches, I believe, your senior year. And then also your track career. We talked about your track career a little bit and your accomplishments there. That had to be a moment that you probably never will forget. Out of all the games that you played at Army and of all the successes you had at Army, that day in 2015 when you're honored at, you know, for the Hall of Fame, What did that? What did you you think that meant to you?
It's a special feeling when the athletic director called me and I wasn't sure what he wanted, and he said, "Me?" I said, "Wow," because I don't think Lehman was in the Hall of Fame yet then, and like there's guys I know that statistics were better than mine, and it was like this is for real, and I just kind of melted in when I was talking to him on the phone. I said, "Wow, I mean, you got Dawkins and all the Heisman Trophy winners," and that was odd, the fact that I was consider myself on that level. And I was fortunate to have good teammates and good quarterbacks that sought me out. But you're right, it was fun, and it was like Ron Carr was at the football game for the Hall of Fame, got to see him at that. He came to that. And we're opening with Lehigh this year. And when we talked the other night, I said about, we're opening with Lehigh. You want to turn it up, take our wives up to the Army-Lehigh game? And we got it on a table right now. So
all right,
we do it.
Nice. Very nice. Very nice. Hey, one quick, before we get to your life after West Point, one quick, I wanted to ask you. You know, we talked about the Army football history. You talked about it with like the Dawkinses of the world and stuff. When you were a player, did you have any interactions with this, like kind of the legendary football players at Army? Did you ever have, because sometimes I know their letters are sent from past players to current players. I think Jeff Munkin did something like that recently. Did you have any contact with some of the legendary players at West Point or no?
Dawkins came up a lot. He would come and talk to us. And like you said, Coach Roth was a coach, but he was a good friend too. I got to know him post West Point, but it's a special place to be from. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's the camaraderie of the players and even though they would call us getovers because we didn't have to go to the parades, but it was a great experience. I'm glad I did it. When I look back and the offers that I had, I don't regret it. And I'm fortunate to have had coaches and fellow players that made it all the more special.
No doubt, no doubt. I want to ask you real quick before we get to life after West Point. Lars, a Twitter follower, mentioned a game that you had. It was the Lehigh game where you were unstoppable. He mentioned that he was 8 years old or so, and he thought you caught a long bomb pass laying on his back on the field after a pass interference penalty. do you remember that at all or no during that game?
I think it wasn't that game. It was against Rutgers, I think.
Okay.
And I had the guy beat, and he basically – grabbed my jersey and slow me down. And I mean, the interference was called, but I was able to get to the ball and I caught it. So it didn't matter as far as the interference counting, but I think it would have been a touchdown because I had him beaten. And we have our highs. And that was a high.
Yeah. I think that, back then, if SportsCenter had the top 10 plays, it might have been a SportsCenter top 10 play if it was caught on video. Real quick, Lars said it was the first time he was old enough to recognize someone looked like Superman in the game.
Well, that's a great compliment.
And you were his sports idol for a couple of years. And he has, in parentheses, you were replaced by Eric Heiden a few years later. I think Eric Heiden was the speed skater, the Olympic speed skater.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. So you're right up there, Mike. You're right up there. So
I guess so.
So you finished your, 1980, you were voted the team MVP. You also won an award where you were voted the most dedicated player on the team too when they have the team banquet. what was life like after for you at West Point? What was your, did you have any service time that you can remember, have fond memories on? And I know that you stayed with football after that.
Yes.
Why don't you tell us that?
Our receiver coach, Coach Sanford, took a job at VMI, and our year was the first year they started like graduating seniors. They kept a couple to stay back, and Mr. Orlich, who was assistant athletic director at Navy and was our athletic director then, Navy had a program where a couple seniors from baseball team, basketball team, football team would stay on and be a coach. But Coach Sanford left and went to VMI, and Coach Kavanaugh needed a receiver coach. So I was the varsity receiver coach for 1981 season and then went to the Army.
You get salary for that, Mike?
No.
No salary. So you were like essentially what this generation's athletic intern. You were basically an athletic intern coaching wide receivers to a point, right? Or no?
Yes.
Yeah. They at least give you no coaching preferences or anything like that? You were just a...
Oh, yes. I got good references from some of the coaches. And... then I started grad school at Bucknell and coached the receivers there for 2 years. Did a year at Susquehanna University, which is in Selms Grove, my hometown.
Okay.
Then I went up to Warwick, which is up there with Orange County, coached at Warwick High School.
That's right.
Who's the Middletown head coach? Not anymore.
Wolfslayer?
Yes, Dick. I worked with Dick for 3 years with his and coached a track and a football there.
At Middletown?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Then went back to grad school again at Penn State. They didn't have a teaching, but football grad GA, but I work with the track team there. So I've got a coaching resume that's pretty solid.
No doubt, no doubt. So after that 81 season, you're the team wide receivers coach. Did you, was there any military in your future, or how did that work out?
Well, I went to basic at Fort Bliss, El Paso, and flew to Germany. And I think it was November 12th, we were involved in an automobile accident, and I had a fractured skull.
Oh, man, sorry.
Was in a coma for 12 days.
Wow.
And I made Christmas at home. I came out of the coma on Thanksgiving Day, and I went through what was called TDRL, a temporary duty retirement list, while they decided what to do with me, and they retired me. Said I was on medication for seizures, and that if I'd ever got trapped behind lines or something, I wouldn't be able to get medicated. So they retired me. I said, couldn't I be an ROTC officer at a school? And he said, well, if you want to fight the 100%, we'll reduce your percentage, which is kind of I get 100% disability. Mm-hmm. I'd have fought it and get 60. I lose some money.
Yeah. I guess it's a little bittersweet, right? Because
yes, that's a perfect word for it. Because I never got to be an officer long enough but I enjoyed the little bit I can remember of Germany. And it was fun. I just feel, like you said, bittersweet or somewhat cheated that I was deprived of that career.
But also you got to feel a little bit blessed that you were able to, right? I mean, because it seems like it was a pretty serious thing that you were able to overcome and, you know.
Well, they were going to bury me at West Point. They had decided that because I was on life support.
Yeah.
And I guess they said what my parents told me was that I made an effort to pull the covers up like it was cold. And they said there's brain activity in there, which is like that's – because I was cold, I pulled the covers. They said, there's brain activity. I said, good. So they turned that off, turned the life support off, and I came out of the coma. So I survived that one, and I had stage 3 cancer. Survived that one. Yes, I'm living a charmed life.
Wow. Wow. It's so, I mean, we talk, I think I remember when I talked to you, maybe a few of these things came up, but just, I'm thinking I have one of the best receivers in Army history on the podcast. Right. But then you find out the things that after West Point that happened, that, like you said, some were bittersweet, but some blessed to be still able to be with us. Right. I mean, just to have this conversation, your recollection of like a Lawrence Taylor to me, you know, having the, when you're playing with Lehman Hall, throwing you a pass in your first game, that's not something that like today's Army fans or people, like I might fashion myself as a person that's knows Army history up to a certain point in time. But the reason why we have these podcasts is to hear stories about the lives of players in past eras, and to hear that your road from Pennsylvania through West Point, you know, overcoming something very serious that happened to you in the Army. And then to now, so after that happens, you're able to still contribute to the game of football, right? Because you're still able to coach. So that had to be like pretty, I'm not saying, I don't know how important it was, but the game of football was still involved in your life, even though the military couldn't be, right? So can you just put that into a little bit of perspective for us, or?
Well, the football has been kind of, I don't want to say the backbone of what it got me, the scholarship offers from the schools that I said that I visited, and it was significant in getting me into Army and Navy. And it's something that I want to do. I still want to keep active coaching, but since I had the cancer, I had to stop coaching, but that's gone now, and looking for a position to get back into.
Are you?
Yes.
Nice. When's the last time you coached? What was the last year you coached, would you say?
2016.
Okay. So you feel like you still have a lot to give back, I'm guessing, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good to hear that, you know, I hope that somebody gives you a chance. Maybe even, are you based in the Pennsylvania right now, or?
Yes. I live in the Scranton, Wilkes-Barre area.
I don't know if people in the area are listening to this podcast, or maybe who knows. I mean, but to have somebody of your experience, to have somebody of your knowledge, I mean, I don't, you know. If I had a football program, Mike, I hire you yesterday, you know.
So. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, wow. And now you say, so real quick, you still follow the team, I'm guessing, right? What do you make of right now? I mean, they're in the transition back to the under center option a little bit more. Last year they went to the shotgun. Mixed results, you know. I personally, this is my opinion, their defense was pretty above average last year, in my opinion, kept them in a lot of games. Sometimes the offense just couldn't get going in certain games where they couldn't put any points on the board. Now maybe going back to the under center offense creates a little bit more ball control for the offense and maybe gets the defense a breather here and there, you know? Will you make of what they've done the last couple of years, and maybe also going into, you know, the American Athletic Conference for the first year, actually leaving Independence for a conference play this year?
I think that gives them a goal, because the teams in the All-American Conference are obviously, Navy's in there, but it's definitely a better conference than, what was the other one they were in?
Conference USA?
Yes, Conference USA. And I, you know, the Temple and close, and it's just, I think it's a smart move. And the option offense is very disciplined, which is, you know, make your reads. Quarterback has to read. If the tackle comes down, pull it out. If the end attacks, pitch. It's, I don't want to say simple, because it's complicated blocking, But if you can create the pitch relationship with the running back, he can really have a great offense. And I just wish they'd throw the ball a few more times to get the 8 or 9 guys out of the box.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, Bryson Daly's back at quarterback, and he showed the, you know, ability to throw the ball a little bit last year, almost had 1,000 yards passing.
Sure.
And, you know, they're always going to have, like, to me, the offense has enough athletes now. It's just getting the athletes in the right spots to make plays. Right. That might be a little coach speak. But, sure. I mean, you know, and then getting the wide receivers, you know, Isaiah Austin's off to Iowa State, the top wide receiver. He left. He transferred.
Really?
He left to Iowa State. I mean, I'd like to see follow his career a little bit, see how he does at the Power 5 level, you know. And but now they still have wide receivers back. Casey Reynolds, Liam Fortner's back. They have a freshman this year that's going to be a sophomore, Toby Alawale. They have some weapons, and now let's see if they can get them the ball when, like you say, they'll loosen up the defenses a little bit. We'll see what happens. First year in the American Athletic Conference, you know, opening up against, you know, you may be in attendance at Mikey Stadium, opening up against Lehigh.
Yep.
In late August, they'll come faster than we think, Mike. You know, the football season will be here. You know, it's almost May already.
Yes.
It's crazy. Crazy. But
it has gone fast.
Yeah. Hey, really appreciate your time today and joining us. It was great to catch up with you. It's great to hear your story. And is there anything else that we didn't talk about maybe that you'd like to add about your memories of West Point or just about life in general?
And it's just the camaraderie of an aspect that you have with the teammates. I mean, we're gone. One of my roommates was a running back, and it's just – the camaraderie with the team is something that you can't measure, because we go and we'll say, do you remember that pass you caught, or do you remember that run where you such? And it's just the memories that we don't forget. And it's that kind of an aspect of football for me at Army was made it so special.
Well said. Well said. Guys, if you're watching, we really appreciate you. Listening to our conversation with Mike Fonstock. If you want to hit the subscribe button or give us a like, or if you have any comments, if you're watching the replay of this, I will relay the messages to Mike. If you have any memories with Mike, I will relay the messages to him. Check out our website. Check out our YouTube channel. Our social medias are going pretty strong at Black Knight Nation. And we really appreciate you listening to this great conversation with one of the great wide receivers in Army football history, Mike Fonstock, today. Mike, thanks so much.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to Army football fans.
Absolutely, absolutely. Have a good one, Mike.
Thank you very much. You too. Bye-bye.